notice me, I'll get back with you as soon as I can. Thank you and God bless.
Got the news on Friday morning, but a tear I couldn't find. You showed me how I'm supposed to live, and now you showed me how to die. I was lost till Sunday morning. I woke up to face my fear. While writing you this goodbye song, I found a tear. I'm gonna miss that smile. I'm gonna miss you, my friend. Even though it hurts the way it ended up, I'd do it all again. So play it sweet in heaven, 'cause that's right where you wanna be. I'm not crying 'cause I feel so sorry for you, crying for me. I got up and dialed your number, and your voice came on the line with that old familiar message I'd heard a thousand times. It just said, sorry that I missed you, leave a message and God bless. I know you think I'm crazy, but I had to hear your voice, I guess. I'm gonna miss that smile. Gonna miss you, my friend. Even though it hurts the way it ended up, I'd do it all again. So play it sweet in heaven, 'cause that's right where you wanna be. I'm not crying 'cause I feel so sorry for you, I'm crying for me. Side superstar, I'm gonna miss that smile. I'm gonna miss you, my friend. Even though it hurts the way it ended up, I'd do it all again. So play it sweet in heaven, 'cause that's right where you wanna be. I'm not crying 'cause I feel so sorry for you, I'm crying for me. I'm still crying. I'm crying for me.
I had forgotten that piece of music by Toby Keith for a long time. I like to think that Toby Keith is back together with Wayman Teasdale once more. Simply amazing. Welcome back to the second hour of Perspectives on America. I know it is an unusual program tonight. It is exceedingly rare that I will do the kind of musical stuff that we're doing, but as I mentioned during the first hour, that was how I woke this morning when I got a text from my granddaughter, Taylor, letting me know that Toby Keith had passed away last night. And had some things to do, and then I went to YouTube and just started listening. Amazingly interesting musician. Let's talk about something interesting, a little unusual. It's not too often that one of my listeners will, it happens occasionally, will submit something to me for reading. And a listener and a reader of our sites sent me something interesting last week. I think he said he'd sent it to me once before, but for some reason I didn't get it, or it didn't click with me, whatever the case may be. J.W. Peterson, who brings up this issue of synchronicities. I'm not pronouncing it right. I'm having a rough day. Topic which captured J.W. and his interest after several remarkable occurrences throughout his life. And he says he'll never forget the most amazing synchronicity that he'd ever experienced. 1993, he was working and living on a small ranch about 5 miles outside of Flagstaff, Arizona. One morning, he noticed that his vehicle, a 1959 Toyota Land Cruiser, had a flat tire. But even worse, since the vehicle had only a canvas bikini top, he discovered that someone had stolen his tire iron from the open and unsecured back end, so he was unable to change the tire. Well, the ranch owner he worked for only had Fords and Chevys, so his lug wrenches wouldn't fit the Toyota. No, JW needed a metric size. So he was pondering what he could do about it. Didn't know anyone else who had one that might work. Had no access to a phone anyway. Any neighbors in the area lived quite some distance from his property, which would have required him to walk for miles, which was not an option for JW at the time. So he was alone there all day, stranded, wondering who he might possibly get a ride from into town to purchase another lug wrench. Well, the ranch owner worked as a professor at Northern Arizona University all day. Was feeling a bit stressed at the thought of asking him for a ride after he'd returned from a long day's work. That is, there's nothing JW could do, nothing else he could do. He resigned himself to just go to work, set the fence posts he'd asked me to place for a horse corral. Hadn't been too particular about precisely where the posts were to be placed, but had shown him an approximate starting point near the barn, leaving just enough distance from the barn for a gate. And he pointed toward a group of trees, maybe 100 feet away or so. Just asked JW to set the posts equidistantly, perhaps every 8 or 10 feet, whatever seemed best to him. So JW planned the fence line, measured, marked the locations of the holes out in the middle of an empty meadow, maybe 50 meters from the house where his car was parked. But on the fourth or fifth hole, he hit metal about 8 inches deep. He knelt down and dug with his hands through the soil and pulled out this old lug wrench, deeply pitted from rust. Must have been buried there for many years, if not decades. Just a single lug wrench, not a four-way like he had lost. As J.W. just knelt there, alternately gazing at it, then at his car in the distance, wondered if somehow. And then he banged it on a rock to free the dirt packed into the socket and began walking across the meadow toward his vehicle. A sense of wonder and excitement building within him, and he dropped to his knees before his flat tire, popped the wrench on, and by God, it was the perfect size. Was that not incredible? What are the odds that this could possibly ever happen to anyone? After all, JW had plotted the fence line, determined the exact locations and spacing of the post holes. And had he been off by a mere few inches in any direction, he'd have completely missed the chance to unearth this astonishing gift from the universe. Looking back on the experience now, he said it was as if I had somehow unconsciously been given or been divinely guided. He says, I swore to God that this actually happened to me. But one thing that I've often pondered regarding this mind-blowing incident, he said, is that there have been so many other problems in my life. Previously, that had been of much greater concern to him. But he had racked his brain for hours trying to figure out a solution, but no magical synchronicity had ever shown up to resolve the issue. And yet in that instance, which he'd considered only a minor inconvenience and had used very little mental energy dwelling on it, and there really was nothing more that he could do about it anyway. So he decided to simply let it go and focus instead on the task at hand. And then, one day some years later, lights, camera, action. The other synchronicity in his life happened when he was a freshman in high school. Attended his very first rock concert. Alice Cooper on the Billion Dollar Babies tour at a huge arena in St. Louis on Friday the 13th of all dates, April 1973. When J.W. was a young teen, nothing in this world was more important to him than the Alice Cooper band. And he was with a few other friends. A couple of them had brought our cameras with us, he said. In the lobby during intermission, my friend gave me his camera to hold while he visited the men's room. But we all had been smoking weed, and somehow I forgot and left him sitting on the floor of the lobby when we returned to our seats. JW's friends were not happy with him at all, but then he felt like a total fool. But the following Monday morning at school, JW was speaking with a classmate who had also attended the show, but who had not been with his group. He had not been with JW's group. And as they were comparing impressions of the concert, he told me excitedly that he had found two really nice cameras in the lobby. Yeah, the cameras JW had lost and were now recovered. And that happened at a sizable auditorium in St. Louis, 30 miles from where JW lived, his own town. And that tour was at a time when the original Alice Cooper band were at their peak of their popularity. And of the thousands of people who could have found the cameras, it just happened to be a schoolmate whom he would be meeting and speaking with 3 days later. With the odds of being only around 9,000 to 1, that's the capacity of that particular venue, by the way. Not quite as amazing as the lug wrench incident, but impressive nonetheless. And it seems that I may be prone to occasionally somehow unknowingly line up my vibrations, my frequency, or whatever to experience such uncanny events, even though I have no understanding whatsoever of the dynamics behind all of this, JW continues. And then there was another issue, which I've titled for him, Olive Oily. Because there was also another comparatively minor but very important one that happened recently when he was still residing in Uruguay. He'd visit his mechanic for an oil change on his motorcycle, but unbeknownst to him, JW had forgotten to replace the cap on the oil port and had not noticed. And just when he started it up, some guy came walking by and called my attention to the missing cap and the fact that he had seen oil spurting out. Well, if JW had started the bike just a minute earlier and left before he came by, or if he had done it just a few seconds later after he had already passed, JW might have ruined his bike by blowing out all of the engine oil on the open road in the middle of nowhere as he headed out of town driving the 5 kilometers back to his secluded cabin. But the precise timing of that observant guy walking by saved JW. How did this happen? Just another coincidence? There's no doubt in JW's mind that there is something very profound about the energies behind such events. Perhaps it's some yet undiscovered natural law of the universe which we don't fully understand. Who knows? But JW is drawn to studying these mysterious anomalies further. He tries to remain alert and observant, careful not to miss any minor ones which might normally escape his notice. And he closes by saying, "Ah, if only we knew the formula." Commentary, J.W. Peterson. They are interesting stories. The interesting thing is, when I published his writings, I also decided to add a Alice Cooper YouTube video, which was recorded. Bear with me just a second here. I have to double check. In the same month, it was recorded on April 29th, 1973, roughly 2 weeks after J.W. Peterson's event in St. Louis in the same year. He's ticked off. I was able to find a video that was recorded within 2 weeks of the concert he had seen. But for some reason on his computer, it all disappeared. We cannot figure out why. Simply amazing. My friend Charles Dickens has not been writing as much lately. He's had some interesting issues. His wife's had some surgery. He's had, mysteriously, some $2,000 scam from him and his wife. I don't know, I think it was bank-related, a check that was stolen and counterfeited, whatever the case may be, we don't know. But I came across this interesting image a month or so ago. It's the title of a piece out of a Edgar Allan Poe piece of writing called The Raven. The Raven itself is not a key issue, in my personal opinion. So I sent him this interesting image that had a title. I suggested that, given what he's going through, what we're all going through in this country today, that he may wish to seriously consider using that title and writing a column. And he chose to do so. Nevermore. Nevermore, in my personal opinion, has many connotations that I believe that we need to be sitting at in this nation today. We as people, as citizens, as listeners, fellow Americans, whatever you wish to call us all. It's time that what's taking place in Washington, D.C. must fall under the category of nevermore. It all must cease and come to a distinct and abrupt end. Just before going on the air an hour ago, several headlines came across my desk. One of them, at issue during the border bill skirmish, where do Americans stand on federalism? Black news. Pop Ed. It's about more than flooding the voter rolls. Stick around. We'll be back. Okay, I'll keep talking. Unbelievable. Hey, these things happen. We got a lot of stuff going on, and we're all losing track of time. But as I mentioned, I think the attitude of most of us is never more. I start looking at all these horrific headlines that just don't seem to come to an end. The Senate border deal mixes some good with a lot of bad. Nothing is getting sorted out here. It's appalling. Is any of this garbage going to end? Over a dozen GOP governors visit Texas amid the border clash with federal government. Oh, here we go again. Other states are now beginning to give taxpayer money to illegal immigrants. Coffee consumption is a preventative measure against COVID-19 infections and depression. This is unbelievable. The insanity of all these headlines. Most of this just makes me want to vomit. Another economic headline. We need to talk about rate hikes. Enough is enough is enough. It's time to bring all this stuff down. Bring it to an end. And demand that none of this happens nevermore. And so, the refrain from Edgar Allan Poe's poem, The Raven, suggests an alluring title for curious reasons. It encapsulates sentiments that Charlie has held for a very long time and leads in some fascinating directions. In Poe's poem, The Raven symbolizes a mournful, never-ending remembrance and sorrow for his lost perfect maiden, Lenore, who was the driving force behind his conversation with the Raven. And you can find it. You can find the poem on the internet. Maybe you've got the book. The maiden, Lenore, in Charlie's case, is the Republic, as he learned it. And his sweet remembrances of the lovely maiden it was. Maiden, in this case, refers to a female virgin, someone not sullied, soiled, or tarnished. You get the picture? Because our maiden has been sullied, soiled, and tarnished. Charlie's feelings and suspicions are regularly reinforced by the mayhem afflicted by China Joey's entire administration. Nearly every step they take, every useless word they utter is dutifully reinforced by their demi-mondanes, the corporate media. And from the moment our republic blossomed from the founders' pens, it became a target, a ripe fruit for plucking. And pluck it they did. Yes, you have my permission, Charlie says, to replace the PL with F. The corruption of America is the point of Charlie's commentary. And the refrain, nevermore, serves as a punctuation and a reminder of the sentiments. Charlie, no different than I and so many of us that are here together tonight, no longer trusts this republic to these carpetbaggers and charlatans, or politicians, if you will. And we'll do everything sanctioned by our Constitution and in our respective power to reclaim citizens' control. Charlie believes that the besmirchment of the Republic began in the early 1950s as we transitioned from a unified post-war power to neo-socialism through the 1960s and into blended Marxism at the turn of this century. And destructive metastases was complete in 2008 with the election of one Barack Obama. And the destructive metastases was complete in 2008 with the election of Barack Obama. His elevation to the seat of power was the culmination of the socialist dream. America was firmly on the path to becoming a socialist Marxist nation. Something that Charlie calls the NASP, Nationalist American Socialist Party. Now, Nazi Germany was the National Socialist Workers' Party, a fascist organization that we believe sets the tone and tempo for the NASP. Is America on the path to fascism? The parallels are apparent. The directions follow a frighteningly similar track. Just recall that Obama committed to fundamentally changing America. Adolf Hitler promised the same for Nazi Germany. Is Obama another Hitler? Interestingly enough, the NASP has no issue assigning or connecting that moniker to Mr. Trump's MAGA movement. Is wanting to make America great again dangerous? Damaging? Deleterious? The indoctrination of our future leaders began in the elitist Ivy League and state-sponsored temples of miseducation. These socialist indoctrination camps planted the treacherous seeds of dissent that spread quickly throughout this country. The sedition followed the simple rule of lies, that you're not as free as the person next to you, and they get more because they're different and better than you. Well, you're not like them, so you're not as good as they are. How about some people have all the money? That's not fair. They should share it with you. That's equity. Capitalism is racist and elitist. It must be abolished. It's all about endemic white supremacy. Diversity, inclusion, equity, or die is the only way to fix America. But then there's an often neglected fact, my friends. To give you anything, they must take it away from someone else first. We're going to go to a musical break. When we get back, we'll pick up where we left off.
This dude, hey, he don't like his stuff, touch me.
Really, man, come on. 6 o'clock news says somebody been shot. Somebody's been abused, somebody blew up a building, somebody stole a car, somebody got away, somebody didn't get too far, yeah, they didn't get too far.
Grandpappy told my pappy back in my day, son, a man had to answer for all the wicked that he done. Take all the rope in Texas, find a tall old tree, round up all of them bad boys, hang them high in the street, for all the people to see.
Boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
We'll raise up our glass.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know shilajit by other names: shilajit, momio, momi, mami, mineral pitch, asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Seen you in here before. I said I've been here a time or two. She said, hello, my name is Bobby Joe. Meet my twin sister Betty Lou. And we're both feeling kind of wild tonight. You're the only cowboy in this place. And if you're up for a rodeo, I'll put a big Texas smile on your face. I said, girls, I ain't as good as I once was. I got a few years on me now. But there was a time back in my prime when I could really lay it down. And if you need some love tonight, then I might have just enough. Was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. I still hang out with my best friend Dave. I've known him since we were kids at school. Last night he had a few shots, got in a tight spot, hustling a game of pool with a couple of redneck boys, one great big fat biker man. I heard David yell across the room, "Hey buddy, how about a helping hand?" I said, "Dave, I ain't as good as I once was."
I'm not as good as I once was either. I guess we're all in that position. A lot of music with Toby Keith tonight. For those of you who are unaware, he passed away last night, or this morning. And leave it to my granddaughter to let me know. Continue with words of my friend Charles Dickens. Charles stumbled into something a few days ago. Something he'd been considering, the implications of geographically disenfranchised alien invaders encouraged by the NASP, National American, Nationalist American Socialist Party. It's an integral facet of their plot to take over America from within. Charlie overheard a comment made in Congress, the opposite of progress, that their purpose was to pack blue states, those sympathetic to the NASP, with enough people to increase the numbers of NASP-leaning politicians in the House of Representatives, or HOR, or as I added, whore. Whores are a function of the number of people in their respective states. Note that the census is based on headcount, not the number of citizens. The fact is crucial to the NASP's end game. So more people, not citizens, means more representative power that the state has. And if the misrepresentation leans toward the NASP doctrine, it's all the better. I mean, it won't hurt their efforts if they grant citizenship to the estimated 20 million illegal aliens already living in America, or is it more? I mean, that is the goal. Incidentally and coincidentally, these blue states, or BS, are also sanctuary states. Funny how that happens, doesn't it? But the summary, the more people in each state, the more HORs, or whores, represent them. The more NASP-leaning whores ensure that any law they raise on the HOR floor will pass in their favor. They can only submit the words of Edgar Allan Poe, "Nevermore." The Supreme Court of the United States, or SCOTUS, issued a decision that returned control of abortion rights to the state level. It did not abolish abortion, and it referred that decision to the states where it belongs. And yet, however, the corporate media fabricated the narrative, the lie, that reinforces the divide of the republic along liberal and conservative lines. The issue is no longer about taking lives. It's become the right of a woman to manage her health. There's more implications involved here. Indeed, the life of the mother is the decision best left to the attending physician of the family and the woman, not the court of public opinion. But here they use an extremely personal decision made by the parties involved as a plank in a transformational political platform. Let us give you some statistics. Abortions in 2020 were 77,500 per month, or 930,000 annually. Abortions in 2023, just 3 years later. Who was the president in 2020? Not that I'm a fan, but okay. And who's the president in 2023? Well, the number of abortions have turned to 87,800. That's 1,053,600 abortions annually that we know of. Look, people, murder is not a constitutionally based right. If you will recall, our Constitution guaranteed the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Point to which of those words, life, liberty, or pursuit of happiness, point to each of those words that assures abortion is a right. Well, granted, there's a constitutional right to freedom of choice, but the argument could be made that our Constitution is based on Judeo-Christian values, therefore, murder is fundamentally wrong. Charles is pro-choice. That your choice should consider all parties involved, including your relationship with your higher power, if you have one. If you are that power, let your conscience be your guide. Remember, you own the decision. But obviously, the number of abortions indicates an ultra-liberal approach to conscience. Once again, the words of Poe, nevermore. But now we deal with our government. Because our government is taking fanatical license with our Constitution to provide pseudo-warranties to justify their actions. We wage war on everything from addiction to xenophobia. But let us remind you that everything, yes, everything our government, especially the NASP, touches, fails. Take a moment to search your recollections about the successful government programs. Has any single program advanced our republic? Or have they all just been abject failures? Let us share with you now some of the souvenirs. The U.S.-Mexico border issue. Energy independence. The Green New Deal. Climate change. Sanctuary states, cities. The war on poverty. Welfare. Obamacare, the Afghan withdrawal, Pearl Harbor, September 11th, 2001, regulations on almost everything. These are just some of the souvenirs that we face. But as Charles says, he could go on, but I think my point is clear. We are quickly advancing to the rear. I will introduce my favorite illustrative expression used by our government. The ends justifies the means. The original quote was, the outcome justifies the deed, which is a proverbial chide cautioning against cavalier rationalization. And still, world politicians, mainly Americans, use it to rationalize their decisions and actions, ignoring the intended warning. Nevermore. But then, border? We don't need no stinking border. You know, we are federales. As Charles says, see and read the paragraph above, congressional representation, for my best guess about why U.S. borders are no longer viable. were amused that China Joey could wipe out 4 years of Trump's work with a few strokes of a pen on 94 executive orders, effectively negating constitutional laws. Breaking his oath of office, that's what Biden has done. Allowing an estimated 22 million invaders into America, unvetted, untested, unsupervised. And that's according to a Yale University study. I mean, China Joey thought that EO, or executive order, stood for exceptionally original. But his latest claim is that he doesn't have the power to seal our borders and blames Congress for the problem. But he also needs $3.5 billion to hire more CPB agents to process the ever-increasing number of invaders, now representing 109 countries, primarily military-aged young men seeking work. I mean, our southern border is controlled and secure, right? We give these invaders $1 billion in money cards, cell phones, accommodations, food, transportation to anywhere in this country. They get medical assistance, they get education, work permits, and freedom to break our laws. And following all this to its illogical conclusion, the catch and release and no cash bail laws in sanctuary cities create mayhem and crime waves. You know what our reward is for harboring these criminals? A flagrant middle finger. Sorry, Charles, I had several images like that I could have posted. The obviation of our laws sets a dangerous and reckless example for the citizenry as we watch our government flaunt their disregard for the law by condoning lawless behavior in every sector of this country. We can't even deport the convicted felons. 150 NASP whores voted against the bill. The NASP lives in a well-protected fantasy world where these crimes are only stories reported by their concubines, the corporate media. And these misrepresentatives never experience or feel the complications their policies impose on this country. But the NASP has the temerity to blame conservative America for NASP policies. You see, the NASP faults MAGA Republicans for delaying their useless legislation that will only exacerbate the problems and contribute to the national debt. I wonder how many of these geographically disenfranchised invaders or terrorist plants awaiting word for their next jihad or infitada on our soil. One invader remarked, "Soon you will know my name." I've watched that video. The recent assortment has come from the Middle Eastern countries, Russian provinces, and surprisingly, many coming in from China. All of these things are kind of a pretty big coincidence, aren't they? I'm confident some are simply looking for a better life, but what's that percentage? It comes back to the outcome justifies the deed. The blame game is all theater and comic in the Greek sense, meaning a tragedy being inflicted on unaware citizens who bear the brunt of China Joey's NASP-conceived idiocy. First of all, according to a recent study by Yale University, 22 million illegal aliens are living in this country. Secondly, Democrats plan to give all of them citizenship. Thirdly, studies show that an overwhelming majority of first-time voters vote Democrat. Fourthly, the biggest landslide in American history was only 17 million votes. And fifth, the payoff for Democrats is a permanent electoral majority. Do the math, my friends. But understand that the real problem is that the damage is already done. It is irreversible, irrevocable. There's no precise accounting of the numbers or location of the invaders. How will we ferret them out? Show me your papers. Who can be charged with this responsibility? And once identified, what do we do with them? Quote the Raven. Nevermore. I believe we have reached the end in this country. In the words that I've shared with you so many times, it came from the book, The Fall of Rome. I altered several words. The phrase, the fall of America, suggests some cataclysmic event ended the American empire, which had stretched from Maine to California and Florida to Washington. But at the end, there was no straining at the gates, no barbarian horde that dispatched the empire in one fell swoop. Rather, the empire fell slowly as a result of challenges from within and without, and changing over the course of hundreds of years until its form was unrecognizable. Does all of this make a degree of sense to you? Are you of the honest belief that your elected whores are going to bring all this to a flying halt? I want to suggest you go to federalobserver.com tonight. I'm not happy with the makeup because it wasn't necessary, but I came across a very interesting video the other night that is one of the most profound videos that I believe a politician has ever done in this country, more so in these current times. There's Governor Kristi Noem addressing the joint session of South Dakota legislature regarding the southern border. And we sit there and pay attention to people like Joey and Kamanawanaswala, or that idiot Michelle Obama, or Trump. This gal hits the nail on the head from the minute she hits the microphone. She's up in South Dakota addressing this issue of our problem on the southern border, which the elected whores in Washington do not want to address. Wake up, people. Another column that we posted several days ago on February the 2nd, entitled, "They're Ignoring Immigration at Their Own Peril." I mean, hey, welcome to the U.S. border. Lots of free stuff ahead. Healthcare, education, housing, food, contraception, abortion, phones, cash, dental services. That's not a real poster, but that's a billboard that somebody made to look legitimate. And another piece by Larry Elder, entitled The New Gold Rush, The American Border. Oh, no, 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 no. It ain't that kind of gold rush. One CPB agent showed Larry Elder a cell phone video depicting migrants coming across the border while flashing their middle fingers. Wake up, people. Isn't it time to bring all of this crap to an end? We have to do so. It's time for us to go. I think, yeah, I'm a minute late. I'll see you, folks. Take care. Without apology, I'm Jeffrey Bennett.
There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads.
My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here. When you hear Mother Freedom start a ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. I brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue. Served and the battle will rage. This big dog will fight when you rattle his cage. You'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. Cause we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Liberty started shaking her fist, and the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. I'll brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
There, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease Off, LLC.
417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.